Mozart's most unusual trio with a tune they called Money Jungle. You're hearing Duke Ellington on piano, Charles Mingus on bass, and Max Roach on drums. This was recorded in 1962 and released a year later. It's an exceptional studio album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And in case you're wondering, just in case you're wondering that there might be talk of, building a case for impeachment against Donald Trump, he says, look, you impeach me and I'll cause the stock market to crash. Isn't that great? Isn't that just the attitude of a mobster, a gangster? The whole nation, he says, will come to its knees if he is touched in any way. What's going on here? And indeed, he is succeeding with his threats, and that is Nancy Pelosi, mother dear of the Democratic Party, has forbidden any talk by Democrats about impeachment. We're not hearing even from impeach 45, Maxine, impeach 45, Waters is silent. Nothing to say. Because what they want to do is concentrate on other things, such as getting a majority in the House, taking over the House, and they have new candidates they want to support. All of a sudden, impeachment talk is off the table. But it is, you become more and more bewildered by the behavior of this president, who acts like a street thug. And people fall in line. It's amazing. A president tells the country, you impeach me, the stock market will crash. And everybody, cowers, and they retreat to their little hole in the wall. Oh, no, Mr. President, we're not going to do that. We'll behave, sir. We'll do it just as you say. This is an incredible study in psychological warfare on a mass scale, how countries, some countries, are ruled by the terrorism of individuals who say they are heads of state. So now you are not to discuss even the remotest possibility that the president's conduct suggests a need for the legislators, the people who make the law of this land, to explore whether this is something they will end up having to do. He told them right up front. I'm surprised that he didn't say, I'll come to your house, drag you out of your house, and put you in front of a firing squad. How dare you? How dare you think of taking any action against me? Well, as you know, that's a direct outgrowth of what happened Tuesday. He got a serious double whammy punch to the stomach. His former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was found guilty of bank and tax fraud. By the way, we're learning from a juror that there was one person on the jury who caused Manafort to escape indictment on 10 counts. That juror held out. One juror. And what did I say? What did I say? In these kinds of cases, you have to be on the alert. People are coming in there under all kinds of influences. They have all kinds of contacts. This is a highly politicized trial. But the jury, in the end, voted unanimously on 8 counts against Manafort. This juror says it would have been all 18 had this one juror, of course, who is not identified, had that juror basically done a good job. But that juror decided to hold out on 10 counts. Manafort, therefore, escaped conviction on those 10 counts. And later that day, in fact, you know, it's a matter of about an hour or two, Trump's former personal lawyer and fix-it man, Michael Cohen, made a plea deal. He decided that he would plead guilty to tax evasion, tax fraud, and bank fraud, and election finance fraud. And he will, in fact, become state's witness. He would cooperate with the prosecution against Donald Trump. And indeed, he delivered the closest stop yet at Trump's door. He talked about the fact that he was the one that Trump ordered to make payouts, hush money payouts to women that Trump was romantically involved with as a married man. And he hinted that there was so much more to come. Trump, on the other hand, said, I will give him, I will pardon you. So they keep upping the ante of who is offering, you know, the best deal. But it appears that Cohen sees that there, where he is a bad position. And he finally has, I think, determined for himself that Donald Trump has no allegiances to anybody but himself. And he believes that he was used, thoroughly used, and so he is willing to testify. He's willing to tell what he knows. And therefore, he has sealed his fate on that level. He will get no thanks for that. The only benefit to him is that they would go a lot lighter on him in terms of prosecution. And for that, he will have to bring He's going to have to bring the case to Trump for the prosecution. This thing is just beginning to boil up, you know. It's not Tuesday's events are just the start. There's a lot more to go. The Manafort and Cohen cases now put Trump where the prosecution wants. You would notice that in the initial stages, Trump was not and still is not a target of prosecution, directly a target of prosecution. But they skillfully maneuvered it so that both Manafort and Cohen have drawn closer to Trump, drawn attention to Trump in terms of their dealings with him, and their dealings with him in matters that are prosecutable. So even though Donald Trump was not a target of prosecution, the way that Manafort has related all the things that he has done, many of which are illegal, and Cohen indicating that Trump had direct knowledge of what he was doing. In fact, he told Cohen what to do, things that were illegal to do. Trump is now, and he's very much aware of it, which is why he's running scared. He's now aware that they're closing in. Prosecutors are closing in on a whole bunch of issues that they did not broach before. The matter of Trump's relationship with Russia, the matter of trading intelligence with Russia, the matter of accepting illegal help from Russia to win this election, money that was passed, money that was laundered, money that was put to use to frustrate the democratic process. All these things are now becoming topics of concern. And we did have a prediction, I believe it was from Bruce, who said that we should expect Trump to become more and more outrageous in his behavior, in his conduct. And it is beginning to happen. This pronouncement that, you know, is a kind of heading off anything. You know, he says, you touch me, you'll be sorry. The whole country is going to suffer, and much of the world with it. The stock market is going to crash if you touch me. I mean, it's a very fascinating way that he sees himself, his importance, and his capacity to inflict pain and terror on people so that he will get his way. This, it's a stick-up, essentially. It's a warning and a stick-up. If you proceed with any investigation against me, this is what he's saying, you'll be very sorry. So therefore, be sensible and leave me alone. Let me do my thing, and you go on with your miserable, insignificant lives. What a thing to say. And he said it like a mobster. He said it like a threat. He said it as if verbally, this was a gun to the nation's head, to the legislators' head. Now, what is fascinating is nobody's saying anything about that, that the behavior of a head of state, I mean, this is the kind of thing that they gleefully reported when it applied to, say, Idi Amin. What a crazy guy he was. But for Trump, they're already positioning it as, here's a guy who means business. He's got a couple of tricks up his sleeve. He's going to survive. He's going to take them on, you know, and Trump is not above causing serious cleavage in this country, as long as he gets his way. Is a very dangerous person. In fact, that's exactly what former CIA director Brennan said of him, that he is drunk on power and he's dangerous. Well, we will continue our conversation about the developments so far as we understand them. And we talk among ourselves. You know, we have expertise, you know. We don't have to wait until the experts descend from their perches to tell us what's going on. What we ought to be doing, and this is the gift of this kind of radio, is that people, regular, ordinary people, well, of course, I think you're extraordinary, but we look for your insights. Because very often, it is the analysis of the people. They have a way of seeing things, interpreting things. And this is a moment that, since it's going to be affecting the people ought to be discussing this matter openly. I believe in that. 888-874-4888. I would ask you, as best you can, to be analytical. What is happening here? On any number of levels that you see, what is happening? How is a country being affected? How will the country be affected by these developments? And our vision, knowing Donald Trump and having a particular view of the Trump presidency, what is likely to happen here? How will people react? And how are you, particularly, how are you seeing the situation from where you are? That's the question. It's as simple as that. Is this just plain politics, or do we see some other things coming into play that are disturbing, that should warn us to prepare? We've been talking about preparing. Because in one way or the other, we have seen, or we believe, that this system, in one way or the other, will cease to function as we think it ought to be, as we think it ought to function. We're seeing more and more this cleavage between rich and poor, between those who have power and those who don't, between the people who, quote, matter, unquote, and people who don't matter. This is an administration that has a character to it that we have not seen in a long, long time, if ever. This is a very different kind of character. And we ought to be concerned in trying to get a grasp of what it is we're looking at and are about to experience. And whether we are prepared, in what ways do we need to prepare for what we think is about to happen? That's the homework assignment for today. 888-874-4888. Now, we know we're dealing with a number of very complicated issues. However, there's nothing so complicated that we can't understand. What say you? What is your take on where we are this very day as a nation and individually in your own situation? What is the state of affairs? Is politics going to affect your life in a very definite way? Do you think you are prepared? Do you think the country is prepared to deal with what's to come? And what do you see around the corner? What is going to happen to this country? How are we going to deal with these crises that are coming at us at breakneck speed? We can't seem to get out of one situation and before we are in another. And there are people who are making decisions that may or may not be the smartest decisions, may not reflect our views. What are we going to do? Are you thinking about it or just going about life and saying, well, this is politics. Somehow it will work itself out and we will figure out that response then. If it gets to be way out of hand, we'll figure out something. But in the meantime, you're going about life. What is your attitude? All around us, people are saying that this has been a very serious development and it will continue to grow in terms of its seriousness and its impact, which means people will be affected. Donald Trump making the statement that if you impeach me, the market is going to crash is a clear threat. But he is speaking to these fears that he knows the country has about where people think it is, and they don't feel comfortable about it. He's preying on that. And then again, there are people who are his supporters who say, this is exactly why we elected him. He's a strong man. He's not afraid. He's a strong guy. And we're still with him. We'll stay with him through thick and thin. From Delaware, Veronica, let's figure out what it is you see as happening in this country at this moment.
Well, I see IQ 45 more or less using America as a business. He is enriching his family legacy at the expense of more or less in the continuation of what has been going on for the last 20-something years. We are in danger. I am seeing things as different people struggling, protesting. I'm going to bring it a little bit closer to you get sick, you end up in the emergency room, and the doctor's job is to prescribe. So they prescribe. It's not necessarily what's best for you or them even knowing, you know, what exactly is needed. So we unknowingly go in and whatever they say, you know, whereas we know we're being prepped for surgery. And some of us don't need surgery. We know what the problems are, and we need to remove ourselves from the capitalist system. And it's so ingrained, you know. We've gone to schools that have taught us this is the way to not think, and we need to think. We know how to think, and we're not doing, well, some of us. Because many of us are thinking, you know. Even the people that are following, he has taken the Harley Davidson company, moved it to China. So now you're unemploying the very people who are following you. So some of them have to not have to wake up. We as a people must help ourselves. I'm watching right now, I could talk on several things like Free Your Mind. I'm watching them kill my neighbors and such. I'm watching my relative in the hospital right now. And you go in, they prescribe a blood pressure pill. You go to a nursing home, they give you another blood pressure pill because they were short-staffed. So they said, oh, it's not working. They give you another pill when you go to the hospital. And there's no way that a human being should be on 4 blood pressure pills. But these are things that's happening. Then the person bottoms out.
Let me ask you, I want you to come back to the central theme here. Mm-hmm. What is it about this moment that brings you to a particular political awareness? And what is that awareness?
Oh, goodness. Yesterday was Nat Turner Day, George Jackson Day, and prisoners throughout the world are on strike. And most of the public, they're being disconnected. And this, you know, we have to stop supporting our own demise. We have to, if it is not essential that we pay certain things, we're paying to an institution taxes that are not serving the people. The taxes they say are to build roads, to do certain things. We're supporting a military where IQ said we should have segregation, you know, separate the colored troops from the other troops and so forth. And it's as if he didn't say that. And they go on to the next thing. And I have decided I cannot listen or partake in anything he has to say because I have to deal with what is essential right now. I have to help the people that are in my immediate community. That's okay. What I can do.
You got us started today. Thank you, and we continue the conversation incorporating what you've offered so far today. Thank you. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Etrice.
Hello. What are your thoughts about the state of affairs right this minute in America and how it affects you?
Yeah, well, it seems that every time we're on some important issue, like what we spoke about on Monday and Tuesday with the Chicago killings, and they have this reality show go on, and all the attention goes to that Trump thing. So it's like they're just like distracting us with all this nonsense that never goes anywhere. Same way we think we got the Clintons, and then somehow the day comes, they're supposed to have the tax things in, and then nothing ever happens. So.
But tell us where your head is with the developments so far this week. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I listened to lies for the first 30 years of my life that drinking milk was good for you and eating white bread was good for you and eating all, and I'm not going to do that anymore. So why should I believe in their lies? And I'd rather make up my own version of what's going on and believe in that, because I'd rather go to the grave feeling that at least I was coming up with my own ideas and not just listening to what they kept telling us. When we know stuff is wrong, we know that the water is bad because it's got fluoride in it, but they want us to think that only Flint has bad water and the rest of the country has good water. And, you know, things like that just irritate me.
So you're more aware more aware and more cognizant of the a reality that is very different from what they're telling you is. How does that pertain to Trump?
Pertains to Trump because, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me that a man who grew up in a rich family, or his father would take him to the buildings that he owned and greet the tenants and show him how to do business, and he does all these things in his life to become a successful businessman, and then in his 70 years, he's going to be treated like this. He's allowing himself to go. This looks like it's a total setup, and it's just for our entertainment. It's like a reality show. I don't think we would talk about the Kardashians every day like it's something real, but that's what we're doing with this Donald Trump story. And we've been doing that for the last 60 years since Kennedy was assassinated. I wondered, when you were 10 years old and Kennedy was assassinated or murdered, was it a big deal in Trinidad? Did it affect you at all?
Yes, it was a big deal because the relationship between the Caribbean, the small islands of the Caribbean, and the United States, Kennedy was seen as a major hero. And we did experience the blockading. We did experience the Cuba tensions. But we did not have, and I would say that to be very clear, we did not have a view grounded in fact. You know, it was hero worship. It was America was the greatest thing since sliced bread. We never had a thorough understanding of what was going on. We didn't have a proper perspective on it. So we automatically sided with the United States, even though the United States in many ways was very unkind to our region and very exploitative of our region. So it's a universal story. We side with people for the wrong reasons.
Was the consensus that Lee Harvey Oswald was the one involved and that was all that was involved with that? Was that the way the story went and everybody was satisfied?
We didn't get all that involved in it. I mean, we didn't get that deep into it. We were so very much concerned about what was going on in the country, aware that the United States was going through a crisis, but we didn't see it as our crisis. We didn't see it that way. At least that's my interpretation. We still had our things that we had to do, but we did not see this as our shared crisis. All right. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today.
I just wanted to mention one more thing. Okay.
But you have to hurry. We're running out of time.
Yeah, well, when I read the quote by Johnson. He said, if you could convince the lowest white man that he was better than the best colored man, and he also said, instead of using the word convince, I think trick would be the proper word, and he also said, the ones that control the weather control the world, and he was only in there for 4 years, and he accomplished what? Kennedy getting killed, John Kennedy getting killed.
But you're taking into a whole different direction. We're talking about Trump and the events of Tuesday having impact up until today. That's what we're talking about. Thanks for calling. Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you, too.
You know, as I look at Trump, he reminds me, and I don't know how well you know the movie The Godfather. The Godfather is one of my favorite movies for many, many reasons. And I remember Godfather Part Two, where Michael Corleone is hauled into a Senate Investigation Committee hearing about whether the mafia exists or not. And the senators all thought that they had all of their ducks in a row with, in terms of witnesses, and they had all the information that they needed to really convict him. And one by one, everybody came in there and fell on the sword, and he walked out of there with his hands clean and a free man. Donald Trump has that same persona. In other words, he inflicts chaos no matter where he goes. Everything he does is designed to confuse you, make certain that, you know, make you think that you don't know what you believe. And when he really gets into a jam, he then deflects it to something else. So today he talks about, well, if they impeach me, the stock market will crash and everybody will be poor. And it's interesting because this morning on CNBC, one of those Bloomberg type stations, nobody was concerned about anything that was happening. They were all saying, well, you know, that really doesn't affect us. All we're concerned about is A, B, C, and D. And then I go online and I see that he is infecting himself into this whole issue with South Africa and land reform in South Africa, similar to what Mugabe did in Zimbabwe. And I said to myself, his entire persona and policy is race-based. And the sooner we accept that, the better. Any and everything is based on race. It is based on white supremacy. And that's just the way it is. So the best thing that we can do is understand it, acknowledge it, and then we have to decide how we respond to it.
Now, the current situation as it exists, I mean, where he is not a direct, he's not a direct target, but eventually he will be. How will that help us understand exactly what you just said, the nature of Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that even, you know, I keep going back to that Godfather movie. I'm not sure that even Mueller is building his case in steps, in what he perceives to be a logical stepwise manner. So he goes low, he gets his low level people, then he goes up the ladder and up the ladder. I am not certain that even when he gets to where he wants to go, in analogous to the Senate hearings with Michael Corleone, that it will make any difference to his base and consequently any difference to the eventual outcome on his status. I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you see a greater friction between Trump's base and the rest of America?
I do see greater friction. However, I also know that as long as he retains that loyal, he's got about 45% of people, they don't care. He remember when he said he could kill somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody, he could do that. They don't care what he does. They don't care.
How are you fixing yourself, anticipating that there's going to be this friction?
Well,
are you fixing yourself differently from the way you started the year, for example?
Well, I am engaging in a survival strategy in the event that all hell breaks loose.
You mind sharing some of that?
Well, I have, in terms of economics, I am insulating myself economically. In terms of maybe finding the need to get out of Dodge, my passport is ready. I'm meditating on some survival strategies.
Well, okay. That's as real as it gets.
It's going to get hot.
It already is. Thanks so much for your call today. Gwen from New York, what have you to say
Hi,
about
Idris.
Where we are?
I just want to say, I love the lady before you. I love hearing her, and I can't remember her name, but she is
Patricia.
Trisha is so great. I just love listening to her. So kudos to her.
Patricia. Okay.
Oh, okay. What I want to say about the events that are going on right now is a couple of things. I just first want to say that I actually feel more comfortable listening to that than I do when I hear all the bills that he's thrown into the trash, all the environmental stuff that he's just, you know, thrown into the fire and said, we don't need any of this, because, you know, the environment is the most important thing right now. That's what's going to kill us all. That's it. It's going to be global warming. It's not going to be this other crap. We might have war that comes before that, but that to me is the most important issue. And this is very distracting from that, but it doesn't make it less real. It's also very real. So first, I want to say that I think that one of the things that was interesting about Manafort was the removal of Eric Schneiderman. Eric Schneiderman would be a horrible date and a horrible guy to date. But the timing is interesting because he wanted to arrest him in New York, and that way Donald Trump could not have pardoned him. So all of a sudden he loses his job, and now Manafort is in the federal court. So now Trump can go ahead and pardon him. I'm not at all surprised that they came down with only 8 counts when there really should have been 18. And I feel very certain in my heart that one witness had to have been paid or something, because it just doesn't make sense to me. There was a lot of proof there, and there was a lot more things that Manafort did that were a lot deeper than the crimes that he was actually found guilty for. So, okay. But I think that what I think is happening here is there's like always been a tug of war with the titans at the top, and then Trump comes in, and now it's like a triangle, because he's awful too. I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, he's pulling away from the real, you know, the real people behind the scenes, the real money behind the scenes. He's pulling away from that. And in a way, it is interesting to see him actually taking on the big shots of the CIA and the FBI, because the CIA and the FBI both have blood on their hands. They have both acted in very, very dirty ways against the people of this country. So I don't throw, you know, all my weight behind anybody there and say, well, geez, they're coming to the table with such clean hands and they've always done good, heroic things. And no, they have not. And we don't know everything they've done, but there's a lot of coincidences when it comes to assassinations of our own presidents and people that were taken out in other countries. There's been several books written about it. So I don't think we do ourselves any favors by eliminating the fact that there are conspiracies. There's no other way for things like this to have happened without conspiracies. I think what we see
but
on
Gwen,
TV
let me
and what
ask
we're seeing,
you, are you not, are you the least bit concerned about the unanswered question as to what exactly is the extent of the relationship between Donald Trump and his organization and the Russian government and Putin and the Russian oligarchs and this effort to undermine the U.S. elections? Does any of that bother you?
Do you want an honest answer? Not really. Not really. That's not what bothers me about him. That's to me, that there is a faction behind the scenes that wants to have a relationship with Russia that is different than what we've had over the years. They don't want to go to war with them. They want to have some kind of relationship where money is changing hands. That's what they want. And I mean commerce. So I think that's the difference between now and everything in the Cold War, is there's been a shift behind the scenes. And they put him there, or he got in there somehow, in order to make that shift happen. But they knew they were going to remove him at some point, because the guy is a maniac. But here's the thing, you know, careful what you ask for, because he is a maniac. I do not give him the credit of the Godfather. I don't think he's that smart, but I do know very deeply in my heart that he is a mafia train. Well, he has associations with much mafia, much dirty money, many, many dirty people. But I don't think that he's as powerful as somebody like the Godfather was, because I think he's too stupid. I just don't think he's that smart. But the things I think that are more important that he's doing are, you know, look, Russia messed with our election. We've messed with their elections. We've messed with everyone's elections. And you know that. There's no two ways. And I can't tell you that I'm all upset about it finally happening to us when we've done it to everybody else. We've got to sew up our seams. We've got to get our computers in line. But, you know, I am not looking to World War III with Russia. I'm just not. And I am really disturbed when I hear Democrats and liberals in my family saying all these things about Russia. They don't even know about Russia. They don't understand what communism is. And I am not a supporter of communism either. But I'm just saying that, you know, the fact is that they did what they did, and we've done it for years. And every once in a while, you get it shoved back up your nose. And you have to take a look at it. And instead of us looking at the things we've done and say, well, you know, maybe if we weren't treating other people this way, they wouldn't treat us the way they have. I'm not really sure. But that thing with Russia is not the most bothersome thing to me. It's all the other things that are going on that are bothering me. It's every single disgusting pig cabinet member that he's put in there, that is in there stealing everything they can get their hands on. That's my freaking money. That's your money that they're stealing. And I know that governments have done this before, but not like this, not this brazen. It pisses me off that he's making so much money making deals with all these Arabic countries, Saudi Arabia, and all these other places. It pisses me off that he's giving so much money to the military when, you know, when we have these huge problems at home and we're not paying attention. It also really makes me upset that we got somebody who really, you know, there are forward-thinking people, and he's not one of them. He should be in a geriatric home because he is back in the 1950s somewhere thinking that we're going to go back in time and everything's going to be wonderful like it was economically with all the manufacturing and coal and all that other stuff. Well, you know what? We got really sick from that stuff, too, and we're just not at that place anymore. We are not at that place. We have an emergency going on. It's called the environment. It's called global warming, and this is not one of them. I mean, let's step up to the plate and get rid of him and get on to the next one. But
to this question, Gwen. Mm-hmm. Is impeachment a factor in your view in getting to where it is you think we ought to be?
Well, I tell you what, I guess it's really complicated because you know what? If you get rid of him, you get Pence, which means we're back into the Cold War again. Okay. So it's do you know what I said? I said three. I didn't say two. This is not a tug of war anymore. It's three. And Trump is that third angle. And he's not a third angle that's a good angle. It's like it's not a better thing. It's not a better thing. It's
how do
it's
you
a different
read,
thing.
How do you read his statement / threat that if you impeach me, the stock market crashes?
Well, I happen to think the stock market's going to be crashing anyway. He was just saying it's going to come earlier when you get rid of me. But it's coming anyway, so you might as well be smart and start figuring out a better way of dealing with your money right now and get yourself organized. That's probably the best thing to do, although there's not a lot of great answers out there. But I definitely think with listening to several different people that are knowledgeable about money, Jack Rasmus is very good, that it doesn't sound like we have, you know, anything rosy. Plus, it doesn't work out anyway because we don't have anything behind those paper dollar bills. So what are you talking about? And it wasn't some miracle that Trump came into office and everything got wonderful. A lot of people behind the scenes are very wealthy that manipulated that to make it look a certain way. But that's not the way it's going to be. So we can be victims of what's going to happen, or we can try to get in front of it as much as we can. But it's a very sloppy situation, and I think Trump is a disgusting pig, and I would like him not to be our president, but I also don't want Mike Pence as president either, and I don't see a clear answer here. I just don't see it.
You're representing a widely held view. We don't know what the answer is. And we have all kinds of thoughts, but we don't see ourselves, you know, coming together in a cohesive way, at least about one thing, one giant thing, and moving on it. So your point is very well taken. Thanks a lot, Gwen, for your call today.
Thank you.
Tony from Orlando, you're on the air, and you'll be our last caller, I hate to say, but you're up against the clock.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Yatrice. I want to say to Gwen, thank you so much for that detailed insight that you just gave us. I agree 100% with everything she nailed down. The only thing I would add to her case is when you asked her about the stock market, his threat on the stock market, I believe that that is basically him using that as an excuse, because Donald Trump thinks in several moves in advance. And I believe they know that they're going to lose the House, so they're going to get the impeachment. The problem is, in order to impeach, I believe you have to have like 2/3 of the Senate or something, like a very high number of senators to remove, because you can have an impeachment, but in order to remove, you need to have a high number of votes. So I believe he sees impeachment coming, and as far as the stock market going down, it's inevitable, just like Gwen said. And another thing is the national debt. When Gwen talked about spending on all these military and you know, Saudi Arabia, deals with Saudi Arabia and whatnot, our military spending right now is it's insane, you know. And you know, Trump and the Republicans, they always complain about Obama raising the national debt from $9 trillion to $18 trillion. But if nobody's paying attention to what the national debt is now, so the national debt.
I want to bring you back to where we ought to be talking about today. I understand your point, and your points are well taken, as are the points that Gwen made. Very good points. But here we are in a moment. What is this moment to you?
This moment to me is basically like what Trump is basically saying. He's trying to use the excuse that the market's going to go down. This is a moment of uncertainty. That's what we're living in right now. And in a moment of uncertainty, you cannot make long-term commitments, folks. Get ready for the storm. Anything can happen. That's what this moment is a moment of uncertainty. But as far as
short-term, do you think that people are sufficiently prepared to do exactly what you say, to deal with this as a moment of uncertainty?
No, they are not, because just like, you know, everybody's sucked into the media. And what is the media talking about? Cohen, Manafort, those people, that has nothing to do with nothing, okay? So what's going to happen is, you know, the people are going to vote. The House is going to change. That's a natural thing, occurrence in the midterm with the first-term president. Those things are going to go into place. That's a natural occurrence. That's why you said the Democrats weren't talking about impeachment, because they're going to go for impeachment. So the thing is, you're not going to get removal. So you're going to have a Bill Clinton case with a Trump. But in that scenario of uncertainty, you can have a lot of problems as far as the economy is concerned. And we just hit a record high. I believe it was yesterday. I'm not sure if it's continuing today. But this is the longest bull market we've ever had in history of this country. And with every bull market comes a bear market.
But even so, what does that have to do with the political trajectory for the country? What does that have to do with our day-to-day understanding of politics and you know, where we plant ourselves? Usually, you know, it's like a compass. You have you may not be, you know, a political scientist, but somewhere we each have a kind of political bearing. Do you think that that is changing, or do you think it will remain the same?
No, I think it is changing, but I think that's more of a local issue rather than a national issue. Nationally, I think we're staying the same. Locally, things are changing because people are wising up to crooks like Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. So if people wake up and realize you can't keep voting for these same old crooks and expect a different thing to result from it, you know, you got to change. I mean, even if it's the worst guy, I mean, that's what Every time I vote, I never vote for someone that's going to do something for me. I always vote against the person that's going to do me the most harm.
So let me ask you, when we follow this thing through, it's going to go through its own, you know, cycle. This prosecution, non-prosecution of Trump, the expansion of the scope of this investigation. Is it going to matter in the end, you think, to people how it all turns out? Or do you think that people have their own ideas even now, irrespective of, you know, the big investigation and the convictions and the plea deals?
No, because whatever they're investigating are the usual biases that people already have of Trump, of being a scam artist, a cheater, tax evader. These are the issues they're dealing with. Now, when they start talking about white supremacy, when they start talking about things like that, then people like us will start, you know, wising up and realizing, wait a minute, that's something that, you know, we understand. But whatever they're talking about, that's all dirty politics. That's why I don't pay much mind to all of that Manafort, Cohen garbage, because it's all politics. Because everything that Trump did, the other side did it three times just as bad. The problem is he's not invited to the party, and he invited himself, and that's why they're calling him out.
All right. Well, Tony, thank you so much for your analysis today. It was most interesting. Thank you all. Everybody did such a splendid job of bringing to our attention a different way of seeing our political reality, our current political reality. Thank you for that instruction. I really value your input and your contributions. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.